everyone. This is Tom Trush from RightWaySolutions.com, and welcome to the latest installment of my Marketing Mind series. These interviews are designed to provide you with easy access to some of the best marketing resources available. My goal is to give you useful ideas and valuable tools you can use immediately to attract attention, create customers, and build your business. Best of all, these recordings are free for you to use and distribute, so please feel free to pass them on to anyone who wants to enhance their promotional efforts. On this recording, you'll hear from Nate Kuiper, my go-to guy for insight into the book printing and publishing industry. A former customer service and sales rep at Bang Printing, a short to mid-run book manufacturer headquartered in central Minnesota's Lakes area, Nate now operates his own book printing and publishing consultancy called Compass Book. Nate and I worked together when I wrote my first book last year, and he continues to serve as a valuable resource as I put together my second book. During this 62-minute interview, you'll discover the forgotten facts you must never overlook when self-publishing a book, as well as the hidden variables that can drag out the book publishing process, including the step that almost always creates unexpected corrections and delays. The key question you must ask when determining what publisher would work best for your book's printing and marketing. Why package pricing can cause you to overpay and get a poor quality product when printing your book. The common mistake, especially for first-time authors, that can cause you to lose the rights to your book and not be able to fulfill orders from your customers. How to determine if a book is too short to publish for e-readers, and why the three major digital book platforms must play a role in your book's distribution. And much more. So let's get started. All right, Nate, why don't we get started by having you give some background about yourself and how you got into the book publishing and printing business.
All right. First off, thanks for having me, Tom. I worked as a customer service rep, sales rep in-house for Bang Printing located in northern Minnesota in Brainerd. And we had a circumstance with my wife's job, and it was going to bring us a little closer to home. And I decided to leave Bang at that time for family reasons and work reasons. Nothing against Bang, but decided to turn around and kind of flip the switch and get on the publishing side of things, mostly because when I worked at Bang, I had so many elementary questions that I knew there was definitely a need out there of people that were curious and sometimes worried about asking what, you know, quote-unquote stupid questions, but really no questions are stupid, just got to get out there and help people out, and that's kind of where I thought I could add some value. So,
well, great. I think definitely with this interview, we'll get some of those questions answered and get some of that information out there that especially first-time authors would need, and maybe some things that they just don't think about when it comes to publishing and printing their books. So let's go right into the first question. And the first question is, what is self-publishing, and how does it compare to traditional book publishing?
Well, self-publishing is sometimes given a stereotype, and you have to remember a lot of the publishing world, I believe, is driven by the traditional publishers who are the big boys out there. But the traditional publishing is more of a situation where you would be, as an author, sending out your manuscript for your book to different houses and hoping to hear back. And the idea is that at some point they would sign you and, you know, front you a pay you up front or pay you in royalties. But the flip side of that is then you're going to most likely, you're not going to have a say in design. You basically are handing over your manuscript, and they will take it from there, produce your book, and sell your book. But that can take up to a year, 2 years. You know, sometimes you won't hear back for 6 to 9 months, if at all, from these people. So, and that is not to say that it's, you know, not right for some people, but the self-publishing side of things is you're going to be able to maintain your rights, which is probably the biggest attraction to self-publishing. You're able to have a say on everything. You can, you know, if you want to design your own book cover, you can do that. And a lot of times what you're going to do is you're going to pay for the manufacturing cost, the design cost. But when you're selling that book, you're going to, as I said, maintain the rights, but you're also going to get a bigger chunk of that sale. So if you produce your project, say it's $5 a unit, okay, and you're selling the book for $15, well, then that $10 is yours. That's, you know, not a question. So it's attractive in that sense. And a lot of times I believe that the traditional publishing, it frowns upon it, but very attractive to there's good and bad of both, I guess, but it really is what you need to evaluate yourself as an author. And self-publishing is very attractive to motivated authors that want to get out there and market and sell their own project. I would say as like any kind of speakers or anybody that's putting on presentations, I mean, you've done some of that, Tom, and you have your own book. Knowing that the book that you're plugging or selling is sitting in the back of the room and that you own that book, that's very attractive to to most authors. But the flip side is if you are in traditional publishing, odds are you may not even own the book that you're selling in the background. You may have already received a check or, you know, maybe some future royalties on that, but it's definitely going to be a lot less. Unless you're a diamond in the rough, I mean, it just is not the norm. But it all comes down to looking at yourself as the author and what means you have available. But self-publishing is very attractive, and it's definitely something that's picking up steam in your finding some of the bigger traditional publishers are now looking at people who are self-publishing because it is an attractive route to go, and there's not much risk as far as, you know, taking a risk on a self-publisher. So it's an author's choice. You can play the waiting game, but if you have a project and you believe in it, you know, you definitely don't want anybody to tell you that you can't do it, but that's the beauty of this country is you're able to get it out there and do what you want with it.
Well, that's great to know. You know, I personally heard some horror stories of people that have gone the traditional route where you touched on the profit per book, and their profit per book is, you know, anywhere from like a quarter to 50 cents, you know, whereas self-publishing, you know, that profit margin is much greater. And granted, there's probably a little more work from a marketing perspective, which we'll get into, you know, a little bit later when you self-publish. But with the traditional publishing, you know, your profit margins, it seems like they're minimal, except in those rare circumstances or those unique situations where you're getting a check up front. I'm sure you've heard some of those stories as well.
Yeah, in my time at Bang really exposed me to both sides of it because, I won't disclose names or, you know, or publishing house, but Bang works with some of the larger publishers in the country, and then they work with everybody down to the single author that is doing a self-publishing project. So being exposed to both sides and everything in between really exposed me to a lot. A lot of times online you'll see someone that maybe has written one book and then they write a book on how to self-publish. Well, I can tell you it takes a little more than that because what works for one person may not work for everybody else. But, you definitely see the good and bad. And that's not to say that maybe you hear a horror story from a friend, but you never know, you know, there's two sides to every story, obviously, but you just basically want to do your homework and know exactly where you stand with everything. And that's something that, with self-publishing, where you're going to get into that is, looking online, looking for references, recommendation, whatnot.
Well, let's get into, a little bit of the process and I guess kind of a broad question, but how difficult is it to publish your own book?
I mean, it's not difficult. It can be a little little intimidating, obviously, the first go around. I mean, you've done it yourself. It definitely is a lot when you start, you know, hey, I've written this book. That's the easiest part of the whole deal. But to get it self-published, it's not, I just really recommend to people that they, if they're going to go at it on their own, they, you know, ask somebody, they, you know, send me an email. If you don't want to, they can contact me and they can, ask questions. I mean, I really believe that people should get some help. Whether it's on design, the big key is you just kind of want to have everything in a row. You don't want to be a problem. You want to have a well-designed cover, great files. That's all really important stuff. But it's all attainable. It's not anything that, even if you're not very tech savvy, it's all stuff that's out there, and there's definitely services that can be provided. And you really want to keep it simple. You don't want to try and reinvent the wheel, I guess, on your first go around. You know, just produce the book. Don't think it has to be the big. You know, I guess the main thing is just keep it simple. You know, that would be my biggest point of advice. But you want to you just want to, I guess, do your homework, and it's not anything that you should be struggling with.
Well, I think that, you kind of touched on this a bit, and I think one of the things that I ran into is I was so concerned with making everything perfect, perfect the first time, and with the self-publishing, that is one of the advantages is, things don't have to be absolutely perfect. When you self-publish, there are opportunities to make adjustments as you go. It's not something where, you send a manuscript to a publisher, to a big publishing house, and then that's it. Your hands aren't there. Your hands are off it. You don't have control over everything. As you touched on before, self-publishing allows you complete control throughout the whole process, so you don't have to worry about having everything perfect just to move forward on to the next step. It's more of an evolving process.
That's exactly it, and there's always going to be something that comes up. Anybody, very rarely are you not going to have corrections, during the proofing process and whatnot. Things are going to come up. I guess the biggest, a good piece of advice is don't, if you put a goal down to, well, I have this book and now I'm going to, have this thing out in 6 months. Well, give yourself an extra month. Something's going to come up along the way. And not to say it's going to take 6 months by any means, but I'm talking like design and everything that would entail, getting the book formatted, everything. Something's always going to come up. So always, my big piece of advice is always pad yourself, be prepared for that. There's going to be a setback at some point, whether it's in design or production. Something's always going to come up, but just know at the end, when you're able to have your own project out, it's very gratifying, and it's probably one of the most gratifying things of working at Bang was working with the self-publishers, the people that were single-title authors, just because there was an appreciation and excitement level there that made it very rewarding on our end.
Right. What about something that you hear about quite a bit lately, not lately, well, for at least a couple years now, the whole idea of on-demand book printing. What is that, and how does that help self-publishers?
Well, on-demand is it's very attractive to self-publishers. On-demand is basically just another way of saying digitally printing, so or print on demand, POD, over here a reference. But where that is attractive is for a self-publisher, you maybe don't want to put print offset or like a big run on a web is what that means. But printing digitally allows you to maybe print 100 books. It doesn't give you any overrun. So if you want 100 books, boom, you get 100 books. It can print everything off, you know, in a matter of days. There's not a huge production time on that. And like I said, printing off 100 books, maybe you want to float those out there and see what kind of, you know, use those for marketing purposes or whatnot. It allows you to keep your costs down while you're maybe trying to have the book out there being reviewed. And then you can easily come back for a longer run, or you can keep, you know, have your backlist, and you're seeing that a lot in, like, education and whatnot. They don't want to, you know, hey, we don't want to print 2,500 of these books because, you know, 2,000 are just going to sit in a warehouse where we're going to, you know, collect fees, or they're going to collect dust, or they're going to be outdated by the time, you know, we get them all out. So, hey, let's print 500, and, you know, if we need more, we can, you know, fire them off. So it really is attractive to a self-publisher. You know, and some would argue maybe the quality is not as good as a printing offset, but, you know, to like a first-time author, you know, the quality of digital print has really improved over the past few years, and that obviously it's probably going to continue that way. So it's definitely a good option. And, again, it just comes back to what are your needs, what are your goals, you know, you know, what is the demand on your book? Do you have an audience already that you think you can sell 2,000 books? Well, if that's the case, you're probably going to want print offset. But, you know, if you just want to, maybe you've got a speaking engagement, hey, I'd like to have 200 of these to hand out. Well, there you go. Print them off. It's a one-time thing, or you have a little booklet or whatnot. That's where that can be attractive.
Okay. Well, obviously, there are a ton of companies out there offering self-publishing services these days. You know, how do you know which one is the best for your book?
That also, too, it takes you to a place where the author needs to sit down and look at their needs. What do they want from this experience, I guess? Something that I personally, and there's a lot of good ones out there, but there's also a lot of bad ones. But something that I personally don't care for is companies, you'll see publishers out there that will have packages set up. And I know that's attractive kind of pricing-wise to be able to kind of, you know, instantly price it out, and that is popular. But I just think that sitting down with an author and going over their goals and exactly what they want is a little healthier. And I think that you just can't put a price on what, you know, from author to author. I think you need to take it as they come. I don't think you can just put a general number out there for a package like, hey, this premium package or whatever is going to be $2,000. I just think you should go on a case by case basis. But I would go off, you know, if you're looking at companies out there, go off recommendations, you know, call them up, ask for samples. You know, people are always going to be available that way. You know, ask, go to bookstores, look, you know, who published the books. Go ask an author. If there's an author that you see is maybe having some success, you really like the quality of their project, go ask them. You know, that's it's definitely, you know, with the Internet, I mean, you can find all that information, and it's that's probably you just want to do your homework. That's probably the biggest thing is don't and one key thing, too, that I would throw out there is the price does not always mean that you're getting the best quality product or the best customer service. That's only one part of the equation. Just because they have the best price doesn't mean that the quality of product that you're seeing is going to be as good. It, you know, don't try to, if you're, you know, got a $2,000 project, don't try to save yourself $25. You know, if you like the quality they're providing, go with that. Spend the extra little money to get the good product. But also one key note that I would throw out there, too, is a lot of these self-publishing sites, you just want to make sure that if they're helping you with any kind of design work, or even if you're the self-publisher maintaining rights, sometimes getting those files in the end, if you decided, hey, I'd like to go to another printer, or I'd like to, go a different direction, just make sure that you're able to get the rights to that artwork in the very end, because I have seen it before where, the self-publisher says, hey, I want to do this on my own, and then they go back to the original printer or the original publisher, and you've already asked them, hey, can you get the cover? And they're like, oh, sure, it's my book. Well, that's not always the case, so just make sure you do your homework and get all the fine print and ask all the right questions up front so you know exactly where you stand.
Well, that last point is one that I remember you stressing to me, was the make sure that you have the files so that down the road, whatever you want to do with your book, you'll be able to do it, because I'm sure it's got to be a hassle if you don't have those files, the rights to those files, and you want to get reprinted. And it'd be a tough position to be in if you've got demand for your book, but then you can't deliver on that demand because you don't have the files.
Yeah, it's very tough, and nobody ever wants to lose a client. So, I see both sides of it, but I believe that if you're going to self-publish, that's part of the attraction. I mean, that's part of the reason you do it, is to maintain the rights, and you should be able to move freely if you want, and that should be something that's discussed right up front. I think that that's how we operate. We're not going to try to keep you at all. Obviously, we're going to do everything we can to give you the best service and quality product that we can. But at the same time, if something came up and you wanted to walk, that's your choice, and we definitely respect that. So,
well, that's a good point to bring up. We brought up in that question several important aspects of book printing and publishing that I think a lot of first-time authors, they just don't know about. I mean, there's some other ones that you can think of off the top of your head that some aspects of book publishing that first-time authors, they may not know about, or they may often forget?
Probably the notion that less is more. Don't try to, if you see a book at a bookstore, or you've got one on your shelf that has all these, cover treatments and foil stamping and all kinds of stuff, don't tell yourself that you have to do that. Just, I would keep it simple. Sometimes people try to do too much, or they feel like they need to do things that aren't comfortable for them. Well, that's again where authors need to kind of look at themselves and say, what am I ready to do? What am I ready to take on? Because it is a responsibility. The authors, the times are changing, and authors are more in control than ever, and a lot's expected out of them. You as the author, if you want to sell books, you need to be the one making time. A lot of times people have day jobs, how much time is it going to take for me on weekends to be out there promoting this book or online blogging about it? I mean, those are all things that people, it takes time, to build that up, build your platform. And I think sometimes people think, if I've written the book, it should just sell on its own, and that's not the case, and that's a big misconception that a lot of first-time authors have, or they think that they're going to be discovered and be the next big thing in books, and it's just the odds are greatly against that. I'm not trying to break hearts here, but that's it's definitely something that people are just be aware of, know your limits and know what's going to be expected out of you. But, and again, like I've mentioned before, but sometimes authors will not do their homework on who they're working with. And you need to know that getting involved in this, is it's a big commitment, and it's certainly not for everybody, but it's definitely something that that if you, you know, depending on your goals, it's definitely attainable. And that's probably, I mean, I don't really have too much more here.
Okay. All right. Well, I know that a lot of people, especially first-time authors, I mean, they know that they, a lot of people know that they have to get some professional help because there's just so many unknowns in the business. But what about, you know, finding, say, a designer for a book cover, an editor for the text, a printer? Where are some places that people should look, and how should they find how, those types of resources?
Well, what I would do, this is, what I would do is obviously get online. I mean, get, you know, chatting with people, get, go, there's all kinds of, online resources where people are talking, book printing, book publishing. I would get out there and, ask people questions and, you know this as well as I do, but anybody who's out there promoting themselves, blogging, they're always going to be available to, you know, if you ask a question, they're going to, you know, odds are they're going to share their information, especially if somebody's had success with a project or a book. They're always going to be available to share their story and tell you all about their experience. That's definitely where I would ask or where I would start is, you know, maybe even locally, wherever you're living, you maybe find a local author, you know, and then they may have somebody locally that you could actually sit down face-to-face with. Maybe an editor, but, you know, when we were talking about some things that authors can miss, going back to that is sometimes authors, when you're looking at cost savings, things of that nature, you know, don't go back to your, you know, sixth grade English teacher and say, hey, can you edit this book? I mean, get it done. Pay to have, you know, pay the extra money to get things done professionally because it's going to save you time and money in the end. As far as resources, I would just get online. There's, you know, just start Googling whatever you're, whatever you look for, or you can email me and it's, you know, ask questions where we can point you in the right direction. It's, the help is out there. It's just a matter of going to find it. But I definitely would, you know, don't take what one, you know, somebody's out there, you know, book publishing 101 or whatever it is. I would just make sure that it's a credible source. Sometimes you can go to people like Dan Pointer is out there. He's a good one. Seth Godin, he definitely has some good information. Those are all good places to start, and those people share a lot of great information. They've had a lot of success.
Well, and I think another point that you brought up earlier is, you know, when looking at these people, you know, most will be open to sharing samples, and that was something that, you know, in working with you, I remember you sent me several books, and which are very helpful because then, you know, you get those ideas of, you know, I guess everything that's involved with the process, but then also look at some of the finer details, you know, how the cover was designed. What's the interior layout of the text, how it was printed, all those things, when you're reading a book for enjoyment, you don't necessarily look at. But then when you're getting these samples in the mail for specific aspects of your own book that you're looking to print and publish, you look at the books a lot differently. So I think samples are something that can be a huge help in a situation where you're trying to find professional help.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And something good too is, you know, if you have a book at home or you're in a bookstore and you, you know, like the, you're like, wow, I really like the text, the feel of this, or the, you know, the cover on this looks great. I like the glossy finish. You know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, trying to write that information down, or maybe even see if you can contact the author directly and just ask what it is. All those things make a big difference, and you need to feel good about, everything. You know, with your book, you need to feel, just because somebody says, hey, it needs to be printed on 60-pound white offset, so that doesn't mean that you need to, you know, fall in line with that. If you have strong feelings and you want something, you want a project print on like a natural looking, maybe like a cream color sheet, then feel free to do it. Don't feel like you need to be railroaded by someone telling you what to do. But also, too, is, you know, listen to recommendations, because people that are printing lots of books definitely know the best ways to go, but they'll definitely be open to suggestions, or if you feel strongly about something, they should be willing to work with you on that.
Let's get into a little bit of the book marketing. And, you know, in addition to bookstores, bookstores are somewhere where, you know, obviously it's a place where a lot of books are sold. But are there some other places that, especially first-time authors, can sell their books?
Yeah. One thing that I've been really keying on lately is, you know, the social media obviously is a, quite an umbrella these days. But, you know, when you're, as a self-publisher, you're really turning yourself into an entrepreneur, and you need to be the one marketing the book. I was just at a local author thing here the other day and talked with some authors, and really a few of their situations were such where they were, I won't go into all the details, but for instance, one lady had a book that was selling for $25 and she was paying $17 to get the book, and then she was getting 40% of the royalties off the $8 that was left over when she sold the book for $25. And she seemed excited about that. She was very excited to tell me that, but it didn't make sense to me where why you're making, you're already paying $17 a piece to get these books to your house, you know, and then you're making 40% on the $8. It just didn't add up. But I was asking her, I said, well, what are they doing to promote your book and sell your book for you? And she looked at me and was like, she didn't know. She goes, well, they have it on their website. And I said, well, how is anybody going to know that your book is there? Well, because I tell them. Well, there you go. I mean, you're the one that's out there, you know, you're promoting your book. And I just think that people need to, we sit down with an author and we try to build their platform. The author needs to really sell themselves, and then, you know, people buy books because of an author. That's usually how it's going to work. And, you know, as that author, you need to be out there on Facebook and, you know, Twitter and, you know, just get yourself out there socially. But that being said, too, is if you don't think that you're, if you don't know Twitter or whatnot, it doesn't mean that you have to do it. You know, don't just do what's comfortable for you, but whatever you're doing, you want to make sure you know, keep up with it and do it well. It's there's a lot of things out there to help you build that and create a brand for yourself. That's really the most important thing nowadays is, you know, and that's where that self-publishing and traditional publishing window is closing, and everything is coming together, because the authors are really selling themselves more and more now, and it's leveling the playing field, I guess you'd say.
Well, someone you mentioned earlier, you know, Seth Godin, who, you know, obviously he's not self-publishing. He has a traditional, you know, goes the traditional publishing route, but he's got an audience. He's been successful at building a very big audience as a result of sold a lot of books, and you see, that's somebody who you see is very active in, you know, getting out information, and the information always isn't tied into his books, but, you know, a lot of blogging, you know, the social media aspect of it. It's just, you know, creating that audience that ultimately could buy your book, but I mean, it's a good point that you have to,
correct.
If you're marketing yourself, you know, you got to create that audience.
Correct, and you want to be out there. You want to be out there blogging yourself. Have a website. You know, get set up. You know, it goes back to that branding. You know, you want to be diving into other people's blogs. Go, you know, Google the subject of your book. You know, if it's, I don't know, Nebraska football. You know, Google that. Get in. There's all kinds of, you know, get involved. I mean, go. You know, that I'm just throwing that out there, but you need to be online where people are that are going to be interested in buying your project or buying your book. And, you know, those, all those things, you know, be available. If somebody asks you, you'll find, like you, Tom, if somebody emails you questions, I mean, you're more than happy to answer questions. You told me once that, and I think it's very true, that people that are out there in this authors, entrepreneurs, that you want to be, they want to tell their story. Everybody wants to be able to tell their story, and, you know, I think that's true for 99% of people that are in business for themselves, but, and that's really what you're doing with a book. You're, you know, going into business for yourself. So get out there and get in those blogs and have at it.
Yeah, well, I mean, and who doesn't enjoy talking about themselves, you know, when they get questions? You know, people enjoy, you know, the topic that they know most is their self. And so they're willing to share that information, and that carries over to, you know, even the most well-known experts in any industry. You know, if you ask them questions, and I love that you brought up the point several times now, is don't be afraid to ask questions to people. You know, then you know, they're more likely they're going to respond. You know, in most cases, and.
Mm-hmm.
When you have an audience, you know, your audience is naturally going to ask questions. You just got to make sure and let them know that that you are willing to help them out. And, you know, that can go a long way. I mean, you give people some advice, and if they like the advice, well, then they're going to want more. And a book is the, you know, it's an end result that can come as
yeah.
a result of you delivering information.
Yeah, and getting back to, like, selling your project is, it's, not something to, don't feel like, you know, it goes back to like less is more. Start locally. Look for places where you can get out there and maybe, you know, not everybody's a public speaker, but maybe there's a local book group that you can get involved with or, offer your book online to book groups. Say, hey, you know, how many people you have in your group? Well, Here's 10 copies of my book. Well, hey, that's obviously a cost to you, but at the same time, that's a minimal cost if you have 10 people who, hey, maybe they enjoy the book, word of mouth right there alone, you know, and then they're going to get on, check you out, and, you know, those are the kinds of things that start small, if you see a local author group, in your hometown, you know, go try to be a part of it. Anything to get your name out there is going to help your cause.
Let's go. We'll do one more question, and then we'll get into some questions. When I told my list that we were going to do this interview, had several people send in their own questions for you. So let me ask you one more question, and then we'll get into those other questions from my list. And the question is, you know, what are your thoughts on the future of the book publishing industry, especially as it relates to e-readers? Obviously, e-readers are becoming very popular.
Yeah, I think that, the publishing industry, first off, print is still extremely strong. I will, you definitely, there's definitely numbers to back that up, but it's changing, obviously, with the e-reader front, but the industry as a whole is very strong. But you're going to see people that are, like you have, self-published your project. Well, people are going to start doing, maybe instead of 2,000 books, you print 1,000, and then you focus on the e-reader. They're going to still dabble in both. I mean, you and I know are both old enough to remember when tapes went out to CDs. Well, you know, they didn't just wipe out all the tapes and clear out the music store. You still had everything in there. It just opens up more avenues. But the industry as a whole, I think, is opening up to the self-publishing author. I definitely think that the game is changing that way, and it's definitely stronger than ever. It's fun, and a lot of it's going online. But you're going to see publishers like myself if you're not changing with the times, those publishers are going to go away. I think it's the people that are out there listening to authors, listening to authors' wants and needs, and adapting to that are the ones that are going to survive and do well. That's very true with print. Print, you know, didn't change for years and years and years. Well, all of a sudden you have some technology come in the mix, and here in the past 20 years you've had a lot of printers go out of business just because they're not willing to adapt and change, or, you know, invest in new equipment. The printers that are still around and going strong are the ones that have made those changes. So it's they kind of go hand in hand. So
okay, well that question, you know, that ties into one of the first questions from somebody that came off my list. And actually it's two questions, and there are two, I think, completely different areas of book publishing. But the first part, and this question comes from Andy Brank, and he says, you know, should you publish for all three major digital book platforms, iBook, Kindle, and Nook? And you know, that's the first part of the question, so we'll deal with that one first. And what are your thoughts on that, Nate?
Well, I would tell him, I mean, it's very, very easy. Basically, you don't want to choose for the consumer where they're going to buy or read the book. Wherever they're looking, you want to make that book available. So I would hit on all of them. Obviously, Kindle's very, very important and very popular, but I definitely would touch on all of those. You just don't want to leave any, you know, don't leave it to question where you can find your book. Make sure it's everywhere.
Okay, and then the second part of his question is, what are some tricks to getting a New York Times bestseller? I've heard that many people manipulate that system to use it for their marketing purposes.
Well, that's a... Yeah, we don't want to get too detailed with that, but yes, that can happen. That there's a few things that can happen that can make you manipulate it. And just not to say that's a very credible list. So don't look into that too far. But that being said, you will get the feeling sometimes that there have been publishers that will. Hey, we did a 30,000 run, and then lo and behold, when the book is released, they have bought back 20,000 of their own books to create those numbers. And that sometimes, obviously, is going to add to your sales. So that's a way. And then also, I believe that there's certain publishers out there in organizations that they're going to have agreements, or they work hand in hand, maybe with marketing, advertising, that can help each other get exposure. And so, to say the whole thing is manipulated, I wouldn't say it, but definitely there are some things that go on that way. I mean, I don't have anything that I can pass along that says that happens for sure, but you definitely hear whispers out there in the industry.
Well, I know that at least in the online world, especially people that do online marketing, when they come out with a book, oftentimes what you'll see is when they're launching this book, they will have, well, in addition to having several bonuses that they offer with the book, when you buy it, you get all these different bonuses from different people. A lot of times with those bonuses, those people that are offering the bonuses will be marketing the book as well. And you know, I've heard some things where that technique is a bit, I don't want to use the word shady, but I guess overused right now, because people see it all the time, and, you know, is there really enough value in all those bonuses? But I think one of the good things that come out of that is, you know, the whole idea of, you know, yes, you have to market your book, and if you want to sell a lot and get on the bestseller list, you're obviously going to need help. And when you can get people within your industry to help promote your book, whether that's by offering bonuses with the book and giving them exposure. I mean, I think there's advantages, and, you know, not just focusing on you being the only person that can sell your book. I mean, and there's got to be some joint ventures, some opportunities with people in your industry that, you know, to help you get the word out about your book. And I'm sure that's got to be a way to to help mm-hmm. get on bestsellers. I mean, have you come across many authors that are doing that, where they're looking to get more people involved with the launch process of the book, where it's not just them and it's not just a traditional publishing house?
Yeah, you've hit on some good things there. People are, sometimes you don't want to get too many people involved, obviously, but, people are, always looking for the next great thing. But that, you know, that being said too, is just, you know, you kind of want to just stick to what works and don't try to, you know, overthink the whole process of, selling a book. It's not, really rocket science. It's just sticking to the basics, and that's going to get you far in the long run, I truly believe.
I guess the bottom line is it's going to take a lot of work to market your book. It's not something that just happens.
That's correct. That is correct.
All right, let's go into another question from my list, and this is from Sherry Harvey from Yoga for Real. And she says, as an overview for a first-time author, what are the must-do steps in self-publishing, and what are the top three nice-to-do bonus steps to help me do it right the first time? And I think we've kind of gone over some of these ideas, but is there anything else that you can add?
Yeah, and, you know, that's, Ken, there's not anything where you say, oh, these are absolutely the three things. But, you know, like we said, make sure you're doing your homework. I would definitely if you're doing a book, have some professional help. Have a professional designer. That stuff's very crucial. I saw enough books at Bang that looked amateur, and that just sends off a bad vibe right off the bat to your consumer. If the cover looks cheap, it's first impression, and that it does count. But I would definitely not scrimp on that, or try to have don't make it look like it's a senior project in college that you've just done the night before. I mean, that's
right.
you want to make sure it looks professional, but have all those things, the editing, have that professionally done. Get it done right, because it's going to, like I said, save you money and time in the long run, and it's going to show in your end product.
Yeah. Adding to this, one of the issues that I dealt with that I thought I would be able to do was that whole layout of the book, and especially the text, because you think, okay, I just wrote this book, it's all in Microsoft Word, and there we go. All I got to do is throw some page numbers on, and it'll be good to go to get it printed. And once I started figuring out, we talked at one point about the actual dimensions of the pages and the cover. And then I figured out, then we got to get the type to fit into those dimensions. And once you start doing that yourself, oh, man, it is a big, big nightmare. So I think especially for a first-time author, an absolute must-do is get somebody who has experience laying out the book, the text inside. There's so many things that you just don't even consider that when you're reading a book, you don't pay attention to. But then when you actually have to lay it out, with the book numbers, with the headers on each pages and how they can be different, and the margins. Holy smokes, there's just so much to deal with.
Nightmare. I cannot tell you how many times I had people trying to do that themselves. And I mean, then that's this should be an enjoyable experience. Writing the book obviously is an enjoyable experience, or writing your journal or whatever you're going to produce, it should be enjoyable. What sometimes makes the frustrating, what makes the whole process frustrating, or why authors would get frustrated, is the production side of it, putting all that stuff together. But the reason that frustration came up is, hey, I've never laid out a book, but I read this book on how to do it. Well, I'll tell you what, and then they have a day job, and all of a sudden they're staying, I'm working on this 5 hours a night to try and do it, and they're pulling the hair out. It's not worth the time. And I mean, if you know what you're doing, great. But if you don't, it's going to cause some frustration. I mean, I can promise you that.
Right.
So, like you're saying, ask for help. Get help. You know, have somebody do it. Don't scrimp on that stuff. Get it done right the first time, and like I said, it's going to save you time and money in the end.
All right. Okay, well, next question is from John Watts. John Watts from Watts Law Group in Birmingham, Alabama, and he asks, when is a book too short to consider publishing on Kindle, i.e., I have a 20-page report. Is that too small, or is that good to publish as a book?
No. Put it up there. Put that thing up. Give it away. I mean, I don't know. It's, you know, if you're going to print it, no. You can do probably add a few pages of that and do some kind of a stitch project. But, no, throw it up on Kindle. Get it up there. Get it, you know, put it out. I don't know if you, what it is or what that would entail, but just I don't know if you want to give it away for free or, you know, charge a buck for it or whatever you're going to do, but no, get it up.
Yeah, at least that'll then tell you, you know, do you have an audience? And, you know, if you have an audience, people are downloading that thing, then you know, hey, well, maybe I should create something that's a little bit longer. Maybe there's a
yep.
book from this, so.
That's exactly it. Maybe it's just, you know, a quick version of something that could be, you know, turned into a book. So, no, my advice is get it up. Don't hesitate. Don't think it's too short. Just get it up.
All right. Well, next one is a question from Jamie Brusenak. And ironically, we talked about this before, Nate, but you had worked with Jamie before, and ironic that she's on my list, and she knew you. But she said in her question, what sort of reformatting do you have to do to publish on Kindle, especially if you have call-out boxes and text boxes in the in printed text? Also, I use PageMaker for two regular books, but have a PDF version. Do I need to use a different format to look professional?
Well, here's the thing is, by request, I think those call boxes, and this is not, I would have to defer somebody else to handle all the technical questions on this, but from my understanding of what I'm, what we've produced, as long as you have a print-ready PDF, you're going to be, you'll be ready to produce an ebook. It's going to be easy. And all of those other things, as long as that stuff's made aware up front, I don't think it's going to be a problem. I certainly can probably get her some better answers from somebody that's more well-versed in this, and I can certainly, she could email me directly or we could work through you to get those answers. But that being said, too, I want to jump back is this just shows you how small this little industry is. The publishing world, it seems like, oh my goodness, there's so many books and, you know, publishers and whatnot. It really is a small industry, and you would find as you go to shows and printing and publishing shows, you run into the same people. I mean, you really do. It's a small knit group, and everybody's out here to help one another. And if they're not, it definitely would show. But, as long as you have the PDF, though, that was print ready. It should not be an issue. And you're I really believe that you're going to see, getting things put over into ebooks is definitely going to increase as technology improves. I think you're going to be able to go at some point. You're going to have, you know, just maybe even a Word document. Click, boom, you got an ebook. I mean, I think things are definitely going that way. You know, just technology is not there yet, but I think that's where things are going.
Yeah, and yeah, I can say from my experience, and I'm getting stuff on Kindle, just in the, well, less than a year since I got my book onto Kindle and some of the most recent things that I've done to put onto Kindle, there has been some changes in the formatting. Amazon has its own format that it likes, it prefers to receive for Kindle just because of the formatting when you're actually reading on your device. And the PDFs, back when I had my book
formatted for Kindle. The PDF worked. It worked pretty well. I did have to get somebody to do some reformatting, because you can upload. You can just upload a regular PDF and make it available for Kindle, and it'll be good to go for the device. However, there are some formatting things that come up to where it may not view on the Kindle as nice as you would want it, as it won't be as easy to read. There'll be some extra spaces and stuff. So you definitely want to deal with somebody who has some experience laying out text for the Kindle device. And from what I understand, especially since, as you said, the technology is changing, Nate, Kindle's technology is changing as well. And there are just some formatting things that you need to have somebody that's up to date on what's going on with that Kindle formatting. Just so you make sure that you present a professional product for readers on Kindle and for e-readers in general. So,
correct. In a perfect world, we would have something that's just universal, but it's not that easy just yet. So, I have to still go to the professionals for that end of it.
Yeah. All right. So, next question is from John Flimp. And he asks, I'm considering self-publishing a compilation of internet source materials, 98% of which have no copyright notice or other attribution. Although I intend to include a disclaimer of ownership in all the materials, copyrighted or otherwise, while I still have such issues to contend with, would it be better to leave out the few copyrighted items entirely? Without the copyrighting works, do I still have other issues or liabilities dealing with only unattributed materials?
Yeah, John, I would say that is definitely, I'm not a lawyer, but I would definitely talk with somebody about the legal side of that. But right off the bat, I'd say leave anything out that you don't have that's copyrighted, and you don't want to mess around with that. But you could ask somebody out there that would know far more than I would on that subject.
Yeah, this does seem like it's more of a legal question. And, I would add that taking the time to publish information that somebody else has written, I think you're just better off publishing your own material and not take a chance. And in addition, especially if you're publishing this for marketing purposes, to market a business or to market yourself, I think it's much more advantageous to have something that you've put together. But if you still want to go this route, I think you definitely have to seek out some legal advice from a copyright attorney.
And, correct.
It's something, I think this is a question that I don't think you and I have nearly the qualification to.
No.
So let's go in. Final question, and we're getting close to an hour here, so I want to respect your time and keep this at about an hour. And this final question is from Justin Rickard, and he is in Sydney, Australia. And he says, what does it cost to do it, meaning to self-publish, and how easy is it, and how can he, meaning you, Nate, and you, meaning me, help? So, few questions in that single question, but I guess we'll just start off, what is the cost? What are some of the costs?
Well, the cost to, really we just have to know what he's doing. We would have to, what are you trying to produce? There's so many variables that go into, if you're trying to produce a book, we would need to know, obviously trim size, page count, text stock, cover, there's so many variables that you just can't put a price. That's why you have to talk with each author, find out exactly what they're looking for, the quantity. All those variables go into a price. It's not anything that I could tell you. It goes back to when we talked about earlier about the, packaging deals. It's a lot of times on those, they're trying to gear people towards, here's everybody should be doing the 6x9 book, and then they have a page number, if your book falls within this page number and this page number quantity, that's how many, and this is the price. Well, we just don't operate like that. We go, you know, case by case, so we can get you the best price available, but at the same time produce great quality product that's going to compete with larger publishers. So we definitely could do something outside of this phone call, and if he wants to contact you or contact me, we can definitely work on that.
Okay. And then, he asked about how easy is it, and I think we touched on that right at the beginning. I mean, self-publishing is, I don't think complicated, but, I mean, there's lots of things that I think people may not automatically consider when they're looking to publish a book, so there are some challenges. But overall, I mean, the self-publishing isn't something that's impossible for people to do.
Yeah, and sometimes when you say self-publishing, I mean, it's easy, but it's sometimes that people go, ugh, you know, but it really shouldn't be like that. It's, it's a lot of work. I mean, like I said earlier, the writing the book is the easiest part. This is where the work comes in to sell the book and create the final product, but it doesn't need to be stressful and or, a lengthy process. I mean, you can, get moving on this stuff, and that's what we really try to work on. We focus on making an enjoyable experience, customer service-wise, product, the quality-wise. That's something that I was really learned a lot of, and that's kind of what Bang is based on, is customer service, because they know, hey, people can go out and get books in other locations, but it was the quality of the customer service and the return phone calls, emails, et cetera. That's the kind of stuff that's going to go a long ways to make an enjoyable process for you, the author.
Well, good point. Good point. And then, finally, I think, he asked how he and and I can help. I think we've gone over, some of the ways, that, especially you can help. And I think it just starts with, if people have questions about the whole process, it just, send you an email, give you a quick call, and it's obvious, you're eager to share information with them, so don't hesitate to do that. And,
well, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. That's the whole basis of me getting started with Compass Book was there's people out there that need the information, and I want to be available. I want people to ask those questions. I want them to know. I don't want any unknowns. I want, if an author wants to be involved and they want to walk through the process, they should have that opportunity and have it done the right way for them.
Right, right. Well, let's, we got to wrap this up here, but let's give people some ways to get in contact with you so that if they do have questions, they can get in touch. So how can people reach you? What's the best way?
Yeah, people, everybody, they can reach me, at compassbook.com. And you can email me at nate@compassbook.com. That's probably the easiest way. All our contact information is on the website. Definitely would look forward to hearing you. You can find us on Facebook. So we're all over the place, but hit me up and let's talk the industry, I guess.
All right. Well, Nate, I really appreciate all the information. You definitely gave some great advice, especially for those first-time authors who are looking to get their work out there and get in front of an audience, especially from a self-publishing perspective. So I really appreciate the time, Nate. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me, Tom. Good luck.
All right. Thank you, Nate.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Tom Trush from RightWaySolutions.com with a final tip. If you'd like more free ideas for enhancing your marketing message and building your business, please visit www.rightwaysolutions.com/blog. That's www.rightwaysolutions.com/blog.